You're listening to Catholic Chicago on WNDZ 750 AM. During the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago brings you programs about the people, events, and issues that touch our lives. Welcome to Catholic Chicago.
Good morning and welcome to Lifelong Journey. Today our theme is Holy Fire. Did you catch the fire? In October 26th and 27th, over 9,000 people crammed into UIC Pavilion for Holy Fire. If you haven't heard about it, this is a great chance for you to learn about it and to become caught. It's all about forming missionary disciples. How do we reach out to the young people of today? Holy Fire allowed us to reach middle school students by taking the gospel front and center. The gospel of the lost sheep, the parable, so these people know as the song Reckless Love played in the background from time to time by Corey Ashbery, that God knew us before we were even born, and he spoke over us. And no matter what we do and where we are, God's never-ending reckless love continues to pursue us. Pablo, would you like to share some your thoughts about Holy Fire?
Yes, I think that Holy Fire is one of these things that really invites young people to have the fire of the Holy Spirit either reignited or ignited for the first time in their hearts. We're talking about young people that are either in the sixth or ninth grades. So that's pretty much the ages that we work with, junior high and freshmen in high school. And one of the things about Holy Fire is also to get them to think about their Catholic faith in a different light. Usually, you know, people, especially young people, probably see the Catholic faith as something that is somewhat boring or repetitious or that really doesn't connect to their life. With Holy Fire, which is an event geared especially for them, for this age range, they can see that their Catholic faith in a more fun way, but not also in a fun way, but also in a way that connects back directly to their life through the different witnesses that we have. So Holy Fire, in and of itself as an event, it's wonderful. The Archdiocese of Chicago, it's in its third year. And we've been collaborating on this event for the last 3 years with the National Catholic Federation for Catholic Youth Ministry. So the National Federation for Catholic Youth Ministry, NFCYM. And, you know, we are really enjoying it very much so far. So this year was our largest attendance yet.
I came across with a study a week ago. And it says, why Catholics, adults come to church? And the reason they come to church is because they encountered God when they were teenagers. It's interesting. We are given this opportunity here in Chicago, and we are trying to expand this Holy Fire. Hopefully more teenagers, they attend to this wonderful event, which is inspired by the Holy Spirit.
Today, we're so happy to have Sister Alicia Torres with us. Sister Alicia is with the Franciscans of the Eucharist of Chicago. Sister, how are you today?
I'm great. It's so good to be with y'all this morning.
Oh, it's wonderful to have you with us. Sister,
Thank you. You
just radiate and carry the Holy Fire with you. I see you in person. I've seen you in videos. And also, you're a celebrity from being on the Food Channel on Chopped. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, that's what I think a lot of people recognize me from, the 2015 Thanksgiving edition of Chopped, which was a lot of fun. It was a huge, you know, honor and incredibly humbling to compete on national TV to benefit the mission here, the mission of Our Lady of the Angels on the west side of Chicago, who are here serving the very poor and trying to bring the light of the gospel and the love of Jesus to the people here as well as all over the Archdiocese.
Awesome, sister. We know that we're aware that you attended the Holy Fire. How was your experience, Holy Fire, for you?
Yeah, it was my first year attending Holy Fire. I now am a religion teacher at Maternity BVM Catholic School, so I teach there 2 days a week. And so through the tremendous generosity of Cardinal Stupich and all of those organizing, our school received a large scholarship so we could bring our 6th through 8th graders to Holy Fire for all of the students, except I believe one, it was their first time at Holy Fire. And it was such a great opportunity for them to see that the church is so much bigger than just our one Catholic school.
Sister, how are you influencing young people today, and how did Holy Fire spark that flame for our listeners that weren't there?
Absolutely. So an event like Holy Fire, I think, is very important and kind of one of those pivotal opportunity moments for young people. Because as y'all were referencing at the beginning of the show, sometimes our faith can seem boring or even irrelevant. And frankly, for a lot of young people, they don't see the relevance of the faith. And it's exactly because they haven't yet had an encounter with Jesus Christ. And so in an event like Holy Fire, especially through the sacraments, especially through the Eucharist, Jesus truly present and loving us and being with us, those kinds of encounters with Jesus can begin the journey for a young person to opening their heart more and more to an ongoing and deepening relationship with him that then will help them know that the faith is relevant and it does change their life.
And for you specifically, why is it important for you to consider the importance of our faith, our Catholic faith, specifically our Catholic faith, being something that our young people can understand and can relate to?
Absolutely. So I think a lot of young people today are struggling with so many pressures from the culture, difficulties, even in their families, in their neighborhoods. Here on the West Side, we deal with gang violence and drug trafficking all the time. The kids see this. They know what's going on. So they're up against such tremendous adversity, and sometimes it's hard to find hope. A lot of young people today struggle with depression and anxiety. These are very real experiences for them. And to know that there's something greater than themselves, that they've been created for a purpose, that they have actually been created for greatness, for holiness, to be saints that can bring God's love to this very hurting world. And so if we're talking about missionary disciples, we have to help form and prepare these young people to even know that that's what they're called to be and that God has a tremendous plan for their lives. They need to know that we believe in them and we love them. And so by providing something like Holy Fire, by continuing to walk with them, to accompany them, not to assume that they can figure it out on their own, because they can't. They need us to walk with them and help them to come to meet Jesus so that Jesus can touch their heart and then they can continue walking with him.
Excellent. And in relation to, I love the fact that you mentioned the kind of youth that you work with or the demographic of youth that you tend to serve. And one of the questions I wanted to ask you is, which is something that we try to do in Holy Fire, is connect their faith back to their lives. How do you potentially see, Sister, young people who have a faith life, how is it possible for our faith to be applicable to the realities of our city, in particular areas like the West Side or the South Side or other areas that have at-risk youth, particularly with the realities of depression, loneliness, and then the violence that sometimes occurs, sadly, in some of our communities? What role do you feel faith has to play in terms of helping these youth really find, a value in life?
Mm-hmm, absolutely. I mean, we know, I think, from experience, of course, but the church has always taught us that, the deepest desire of the human person is to be loved, to be known. And God, ultimately, is the one that most deeply and perfectly fills that desire. And so if our young people are not given the opportunity to develop a relationship with Jesus Christ, when they come up against the pressures of the culture, the tremendous adversity that they can face in some of these neighborhoods, and even the difficulties in family life, they may not know where to turn for help. Of course, people like teachers and youth ministers and parents and pastors, all of us are critical on the journey, but ultimately we're only critical because we can help them come to know Jesus. It's that relationship with Jesus that can strengthen them. The sacraments, reconciliation, the Eucharist. I mean, at least half of my kids got to go to confession at Holy Fire, and I was surprised. I didn't know that many of them would want to go. We talked about it. We talked about why confession was important and how it can help to restore our relationship with God and forgive our sins. But I was myself surprised by how many of them wanted to go, and right away, like when we got there, they were ready. So it's opportunities like that to help the kids know, like, sure, we can fall, we can make mistakes, we can sin, but God forgives that. He wants to give us his love. He wants to give us his mercy. He doesn't hold back on that for us. And in a lot of their human relationships, like all of us, we can hold a grudge against one another. We can be resentful and unforgiving, but God is never like that. So to know that there's someone in their lives they can always count on, who will always forgive them and love them no matter what, I think that's critical today more than ever.
Sister, we're going to continue to talk about the influences depths of holy fire, and we'll have you right back after this break.
Have you checked out Chicago Catholic lately? Either in print or online, Chicago Catholic has informative and stimulating content, including news from the Archdiocese, beautiful photographs, and a thoughtful column by our publisher, Cardinal Blaise Supich. Editor Joyce DeRiga tells us about our current edition of Chicago Catholic.
The Archdiocese is celebrating its 175th anniversary. Our special edition includes a great retrospective on the earliest days of the city and the church, and we highlight several milestone events in our history. Also in this edition, we talk to middle schoolers who attended Holy Fire, and we introduce you to organizations receiving funds from the Catholic Campaign for Human Development.
Subscribe now. Go to ChicagoCatholic.com or call 312-534-7777. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Chicago Catholic, a fresh approach to Catholic news.
I'm Rochelle, Activities Aid at Catholic Charities St. Albie Adult Day Center. I'm often told we light up seniors' lives each day they come to us, but they do the same for us. One shy man even opened up after coming to our Adult Day Center and started a writing group. Being Chicago's Good Samaritan means helping someone be somebody and giving hope and meaning to life at any age. Care to help? Visit CatholicCharities.net.
Cardinal Blaise Supich speaks on behalf of the Catholic Campaign for Human Development.
Now more than ever, it is important that we as a society recognize how poverty and injustice strip away human dignity. The Catholic Campaign for Human Development works with nonprofits, both faith-based and secular, to provide the vital support needed to promote systemic change in our communities.
The annual CCHD collection takes place the weekend of November 17th and 18th. Please give generously to support your neighbors.
Please join me as we work together in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to fight poverty and ensure that everyone, especially those who live on the margins of society, participates in decisions that affect their lives, families, and communities. Now more than ever, we need the Catholic Campaign for Human Development.
Holy Fire is about inspiring witnesses. And boy, were those young people inspired. We're about making disciples for the Catholic Church. Nicole Garcia, Deacon Howard, and Paul Kim were there, and they were all amazing. Sister, who really inspired you, and who did you hear the young people talk about, and why were these models that were there for the day, these witnesses for Christ, so important?
Yeah, among my students, they were most impressed with Mr. Kim. They did not expect him to be so talented with beatboxing and rapping, and that really drew them in. And even as he himself said in the video that the Archdiocese put out after the event, you know, he uses those gifts to draw the young people in. But if he stops there, it's totally pointless. He's not just there to entertain. He wants to share his relationship with Jesus Christ with them. And that, for my students, was incredibly effective because it's the kind of music that they're familiar with and enjoy very much. And so to see this man that seems pretty cool and super normal, able to do these amazing things with his mouth and his music, to then speak the gospel in a way that was funny and relatable but totally authentic, mm-hmm. yeah. really touched their hearts. And all of them have talked about Paul Kim since we've been to Holy Fire.
And what was the reaction of your kids after Holy Fire in terms of they had never probably gone to something like this, something such as Holy Fire? This is probably some of the first kind of event they've experienced such as this. And even though they liked specific things that happened, what did you notice differently in terms of the way they were interacting with you, or perhaps even did they share anything in terms of the outlook about on their own lives even? Did you get any of that feedback from them?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so on the way back, well, I think for me as a teacher, it was very, very valuable because I think that it gave me a lot of opportunity to interact with the students outside of the classroom setting and form form some relationships in a different way with them, and they saw that I was pretty normal. I think that I'm not sure what they think about me. You know, I'm a sister, I'm their religion teacher. It's a kind of an unusual thing these days for young people to experience. But I love that opportunity to build the relationships with them. And since we've been to Holy Fire, actually, all of my middle school students recently wrote an essay about who is Jesus. And the prompt was that they were to write about what they know about Jesus, what they believe about him, and how he makes a difference in their lives. And I've been reading their essays, and they're very revealing. The kids definitely know things about Jesus, and they definitely believe things about him, but it's hard for them to articulate how he makes a difference in their lives. And some of them are beginning to be able to do that, and others are not as sure. So I think an event like Holy Fire opens a door or a pathway to help them maybe articulate a little more the reality of how Jesus can make a difference in their lives, but it's just the beginning. You know, we started there at Holy Fire, but we need to continue moving forward and providing opportunities, especially for those other people to witness to young people their own relationship with Jesus. I think that that's most impactful when they see someone who's come to know the Lord Jesus who can share their testimony in a way that can also touch their heart.
Oh, yeah, sister. So I was really impressed by the energy of these little teenagers that they got. So they keep on jumping, singing, and you know, be inspired. And I love what you say, sister, you know, having the presence of God in there. We don't have to shy away from our faith. God is real. God is present there. And I love what you say, sister, inspiring. The kids inspire another. The teenager inspire another teenager. And that was impressive to me. Is that was the case in this Holy Fire? In this it happened or no, sister, from your perspective?
I think that it was very powerful for the young people to see their peers engaged and participating in their faith. For most of my students, I guess that it was the first time they'd ever been to something like that. Very few of them have ever experienced Christian music or anything like that. So it was kind of a very new experience for them. And I was really proud at how much they put their hearts into being present to that experience. And it certainly helped that there were many groups there where it was clear that the students had been to events like that before, that the students were familiar with the music. So they set a good tone or they were good role models for their peers. And that this is okay. We can actually participate in this. And it's normal to enjoy and love our faith.
Sister, what are challenges you hear from the children, the young people, talking about as far as their faith?
Mm-hmm. You know, for a lot of young people, honestly, like I tried to begin saying, it's hard for them to articulate or identify how Jesus makes a difference in their lives. I think a lot of young people are struggling even with getting to Mass on Sunday. It's not a habit among many Catholic families anymore. And that's a very basic place, you know, that we need to start. Because if the young people aren't having that opportunity to encounter Jesus at the Mass every week, you know, they're not receiving those special graces to continue to grow in that relationship. So it's really simple things like that that are not always part of their everyday experience that would really help them, I think, to take those next steps.
Sister, what recommendations do you have for people that are out there that are wondering, how can we ignite this fire in the young people of today?
Honestly, we need to bring them to Jesus. I mean, whatever we can do, we need to be honestly really confident to share what Jesus has done for us. We have to be able to look at the story of our lives and see, where did I first notice Jesus and how has he made a difference for me? And then explain that, share that with our faith and with our passion. And not hold back on the sacraments. I mean, Jesus is truly present, body, blood, soul, and divinity in the Eucharist. Amen. That is mind-blowing. Amen. And if for those who have come to encounter him in that mystery, it changes their lives, that sin doesn't have to weigh them down. We have confession. That literally washes sin away. And we have the capacity for community that no other human organization has, because our community is centered around the living person of Jesus Christ. You know, so the treasure of the Mass, the treasure of the sacraments, the treasure of a living relationship with Jesus, that's what they really need. And those are the things that will help them get through this tough world.
Why, thank you, sister. You are an amazing witness for Jesus Christ. And we thank you for being a guest with us today.
Oh, it's great to be with all. God bless you so much in your good work.
Thank you.
We invite you to watch Catholic Chicago this weekend, featuring a conversation with Cardinal Blaise Cupich and video highlights from across the Archdiocese. Here's host Todd Williamson.
We'll take you to the Donald E. Stevens Convention Center in Rosemont, where more than 2,000 Catholics shared the message of evangelization. And we'll visit with two priests who are playing key roles in the ongoing Renew My Church process.
Watch Catholic Chicago Friday at 7 p.m. on Chicago Loop Cable, Channel 25, and Sunday afternoon at 3 on the Comcast Network, Channel 100. Here's an important message about Catholic schools from Cardinal Blaise Cupich and Loyola Ramblers Chaplain Sister Jean.
Sister Jean and I have something in common, a Catholic education, and we were both educated by the sisters.
It was the best education I could ever get, based on faith, values, and respect for people of all backgrounds.
Now the sisters are passing the baton on to us to make sure that all children have a chance at Catholic school education. A new tax credit scholarship program here in Illinois offers needs-based scholarships to non-public school students. But the scholarships need to be funded.
As you know, my scouting reports are quite good, and I can tell you that donors will get a 75% state tax credit. That's a win-win for you and for students who receive the gift of a Catholic education.
To find out how to donate, go to archchicago.org. Sister Jean and I thank you for supporting our Catholic schools.
Cardinal, that's a slam dunk.
Welcome back. We're so happy to have Father Peter Wojcik with us this afternoon, and we are going to continue on a thought that Sister Alicia presented to us. Yeah. Children today, the young people of youth and of all these ages, they're having such a difficult time, a difficult time seeing the love of God, the presence of God, Jesus in their lives. Mm-hmm. Father, can you help us with this? How did Holy Fire ignite a flame for the young people, and what direction do we want to see them go in spiritually?
Well, I think that that is a great question and really a hard task, right? Because it's complex, and it's connected to a complexity of the church that we have today. Mm-hmm. And that is that, you know, from the very beginning, the church was meant to be a community of believers coming together, breaking the bread, sharing the sacred story, which transformed their lives. And once their lives were transformed, they obviously went on to transform the lives of others, not so much by words, but by witness, by doing the work of Christ, whether there were works of mercy, whether there was just kindness, and a spiritual piece of it was really important. And I think where we find ourselves in the last, 30 or 40 years really is this way for us as a society to really move away from some of those very core Christian values. And so a lot of kids who would come to our events, one of those being Holy Fire, they really come with a very little expectation of encountering Christ, right? Mm-hmm. They come because it's a religious thing. Everybody comes. Mm-hmm. It has a lot of energy. But if you really would ask them on the way to UIC Center, what are you hoping you will get out of it? I probably would be pretty safe to say that very few would say, I'm really eager to meet Jesus. And you know, this is the journey that we are trying to somehow, through those very large-scale events, create, right? Is to, mm-hmm. to bring young people and to say to them, listen, Christ is risen. Because he's risen, he's present in our lives. He constantly is longing for relationship with us. And that relationship has power to transform our lives. So this is just the beginning of the journey to invite them to really reflect on how Christ is present in their lives, in a good and a bad. And through that is really moving them forward.
Yeah. Father Peter, I have a question. You mentioned something about the large-scale events and how it brings young people in. I kept thinking in the last 3 years that we've done Holy Fire, mm-hmm. How this can in fact be, because these are youth that we're working with, and sometimes their parents, may or may not be as committed to following up with them in terms of church-related sure. things, that this may in fact be their first experience of church, and probably, sadly, their only experience of church for some of these kids. Is there any hopes that you have that this might maybe set a blaze in their hearts so that they may want to continue to explore for themselves and maybe get curious about their faith even further?
Sure. And I think that's our hope, right? That's why we do that, is to, mm-hmm. to really open them for the possibility of recognizing that God is present in their lives and that God always invites them into more. And it's their choice to enter into this journey, and that's why we invited them. And in many ways, I always felt so comforted looking at the numbers of young people, not only attending the World Youth Days, but also a number of people who became priests and religious sisters and lay leaders in the church as a consequence of this experience. And it's a very short experience, right? It's few yeah. days that you come together. It's very hectic and sometimes extremely yeah. messy. And yet the Holy Spirit just changes their lives, their perception of what's important in lives. And I think, you know, Holy Fire is one short event, but I don't think we can underestimate the power of the Holy Spirit. And I think there is something powerful about looking at the sea of 5,000 young people really praying together and singing together and celebrating the fact that they're loved by Christ, and that yes. love just transforms them person after person, heart after heart. And so I find a lot of comfort in it. And then the conversations that we have, you know, the kids are really looking forward to it. It's interesting because this is the third year that we've done it. And some of the kids attended the first, the second, and this one. And they would say, group coordinators would say, wow, those kids really are looking forward to being there, because I think it gives them this experience of a joyful church, a church that it can inspire them, the church that somehow it's challenging and yet it's embracing, the church that is inviting and yet not judgmental, the church that pushes them to ask the hard questions, and yet the church which doesn't only stop with the hard questions, also the church which proclaims the joy of the gospel. And it's unbelievable what can happen in those 6 hours there at the UIC. So I think it's a great beginning.
Oh, I love your answer, Father. You reminded me to Pope Francis in the joy of the love of God and the love of the gospel. We who believe in God, we are supposed to be joyful. And that's a wonderful thing that happens, Holy Fire is joyful. I love the joy comes through everywhere. And that's the love of God. The joy that I experience at Holy Fire, I think that's a key. That's a key component that you mentioned, Father, that we have to be joyful, faithful, build community. We are not alone. God is, as the Holy Spirit is guiding us. That's the moment that we have. We are called to bring the community in these teenagers, and they teach us a lot. Now, by the question that raised by Sister Alicia is questioning me, like, they don't see that, what I see super clear. So it's challenging me now at this moment to say, what can I do for my brother so they can see God as I do? God is so close to me that I can hear him, I can feel it, I can smell him, because he's near to us. He's not just for somebody else out there. He's for all of us, and he came to save each one of us. And are we going to continue doing this Holy Fire, Father? Because I've been hearing like things are changing a little bit.
I'm not sure they are changing. I think we'll continue the engagement with young people, and I think there is a great value of bringing it into a group, a large group like this one. So I think we are dedicated to do it. It's working, and it's working quite well. There are not that many dioceses which are able to bring 10,000 junior high students together, and so I think we are doing something really powerful. But also we are doing it because our parish leaders really see, I think, the importance of it, and that is what's so heartwarming, right? The Holy Fire would never happen if not for the openness of our pastors, if not for the support of our principals, our youth ministers, the directors of religious education, all those people in the ministry who really sacrifice a lot of work to organize those trips, to prepare the students, then to follow up with them in order for them to really have meaningful experience, not only on that day, but around the topic of God inviting them into this transformation of hearts.
I thank you, Father Peter. We'll be back after the break to talk about the transforming experience of Holy Fire.
Ever think of donating your car? You can donate a car that you no longer need to Catholic Charities. The donation will help needy people throughout Cook and Lake Counties. Donating your car is easy. Call us at 877-786-GIVE from anywhere in the country. That's 877-786-4483. Pickup is free. We do the paperwork and you get a tax deduction. Catholic Charities accepts cars, trucks, vans, motorcycles, or boats in almost any condition. No need to pay hefty repair bills. Avoid the hassle of selling. Calls taken 7 days a week at 877-786-GIVE. That's 877-786-4483. Or go online to catholiccharities.net.
As we enter our second century of providing help and hope to anyone in need, I want to offer a special thank you to the Good Samaritans who support Catholic Charities. I'm Monsignor Mike Boland. We feed, clothe, shelter, and give job counseling to 1 million people each year. You may be of another faith or no faith, but you have faith in us. Thank you. See how you can help at CatholicCharities.net.
The Cemetery Ministry is a core ministry of our Catholic faith tied to the corporal works of mercy. It's comforting to know that our Catholic cemeteries are caring for the remains of our loved ones awaiting the resurrection. There are 44 Archdiocese of Chicago Catholic cemeteries willing to help you in your time of loss. Call 708-449-6100 or visit CatholicCemeteriesChicago.org. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
You're listening to Catholic Chicago on WNDZ 750 AM. Every Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, events, and issues that touch our lives. Thanks for letting us be part of your morning. Now again, Catholic Chicago.
Welcome back. In the Old Testament, Moses went to the top of the mountain to encounter God. At Holy Fire, we had a similar experience. It was truly amazing. And Father Peter, we'd like for you to talk about Eucharistic adoration.
Well, the good news is I didn't have to go up the, the mountain. Any mountain, right? That was a good thing. I would have to work out a little bit more. I have to say that the amazing thing about it is that the monstrance which we are using for Holy Fire, it's very historic, and it's a very, very large monstrance, and it's quite heavy. So, you know, walking with it around this huge stadium for 5 minutes or so, at one point you really start feeling the pain of how heavy the monstrances, and it's always interesting because you know I've done it this year, I've done it a year before or 2 years before, and having that experience, it's quite amazing, because the day really is you know the way we build Holy Fire is the beginning of the Mass is all about fun and engagement and creating an intentional space for just celebrating the joy of faith. And then after lunch, there is a mindful movement from celebrating faith to celebrating the presence of God. And that's, we prepare for it. We offer reconciliation during the lunch. And it's quite amazing. This year we got more kids than we ever did for reconciliation. But we also got a wonderful number of priests listening to reconciliation and being able to administer that sacrament, which is a great gift to all of us. And so we are trying them to prepare, being prepared for the second part, which really is listening to God and then being just quiet one-on-one with God. And that really is what this experience of adoration is the invitation to step back and really listen to where God is and what God invites them into. You know, the whole morning is about inspiring them, trying to see the connection between them and God, how relevant the teaching of Jesus is to their lives. And now, after a few hours of doing that, they're invited to really enter into dialogue on their own with Jesus. And it's powerful. You really can feel it.
You know, one of the questions I had for you, Father Peter, because I know that you usually lead the Eucharistic adoration, and as you mentioned, and I know we always ask questions of the reactions of the kids, mm-hmm. which I know it in and of itself is very powerful. I've heard comments from kids in the likes of them not knowing what the monstrance is, but them saying, "Oh, I felt a lot of peace when they brought out the big shiny yellow thing."
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
and the sense that can give to even some of our non-Catholic kids Absolutely. That are there that have no idea what it really is.
That's right.
So the question for you was, as you are leading the adoration, as you're mm-hmm. not in the mountain but in the stage, mm-hmm. what are the some of the sensations or energies that you can perceive from the large crowd of about 6,000 kids that fall to complete silence when you're up there leading mm-hmm. the adoration? Mm-hmm. And have you heard anything from some of the group leaders, the teachers or the catechists in respect to the moment of adoration?
I think, as engaging as the whole day is, it consistently over the last 3 years, the experience of adoration is ranked as number one experience for kids and by the chaperones which are coming. So I just have a very quick pick at the results of the survey that we sent out this year. We only got about 400 mm-hmm. back so far, but not surprisingly, again, adoration is on the top of the experience. And I think that tells you something. It tells you first that the need for silence in our lives, in the lives of young people. But secondly is that, when the Lord is there, you know it. You cannot fake it, right? When the Lord is present, it changes your lives. And that is something what I always do in that time is, obviously, I really pray for young people there, but I pray for them vicariat. We are quiet for good 10 minutes or so, and I really kind of go vicariat, and as many names of the parish as I can recall, I just pray for those communities by name, asking for their healing, for their strength, for the gifts of the Holy Spirit for their young people. So that really is what I try to focus on during the adoration, is just simply bring to Jesus all those young people from across the Archdiocese. And there is this great feeling of peace, at least to me, because, in our ministry and jobs, we a lot of times get overwhelmed by the numbers of requests we get and the number of projects and things that simply have to happen across the Archdiocese every day. And it helps even for us, I know surely it's helpful for me, to really step back and just give it back to Christ and kind of recognize that there is balance in all of it, and that really this is not our church, it's His church. What we try to do is collaborate with His grace to bring people closer to Christ, but by the end of the day, He knows what He's doing.
One of the amazing mm-hmm. moments was when the young people are asked to come forward if they felt a call to vocation.
Mm-hmm.
That was
We've done this year for the first time.
Oh.
It was so powerful. Yeah. Father, what did you think of that?
I was Father Tim Manahan, who is the vocation director here in the Archdiocese. He approached me about it, and I said, absolutely, if you want to do it, do the altar call. But I said, I'm not sure if anybody will come. And he said, I'm a little bit stressed out about myself. But then somebody else, another priest, said, well, why would you be stressed out about it? Jesus should be stressed out about it. You can just, entrust it to Him. And I was really impressed when on Friday there were 12 boys who came in when he called a young men who feel called to priesthood. And then when he called young women, there were about 50 which came. And I that really kind of blew my mind. I was just shocked and so grateful that they had this energy of coming and this resolve. And because, for every student, for every young person which came, there were three or five or six which didn't get up, but they feel the same calling. And so seeing the multitude, how many people feel called by Christ. It's so powerful. And Saturday was even more powerful. Even more people came forward on Saturday. And so seeing those numbers and those young people coming forward publicly in the front of their peers and their chaperones and saying, I feel called to a ministry in the church as a religious sister, as a priest, that was so powerful and so hopeful for our church, right? It mm-hmm. just shows how the Spirit, even in the messiness of what's going on in the church, how the Spirit still leads us and still brings this abundance of calling to calling on people to vocation.
Well, thank you, Father Peter, yeah, and God bless you for bringing the power of the Holy Spirit to so many young people and to the Archdiocese.
Thanks much.
Cardinal Blaise Supich speaks on behalf of the Catholic Campaign for Human Development.
Now more than ever, it is important that we as a society recognize how poverty and injustice strip away human dignity. The Catholic Campaign for Human Development works with nonprofits, both faith-based and secular, to provide the vital support needed to promote systemic change in our communities.
The annual CCHD collection takes place the weekend of November 17th and 18th. Please give generously to support your neighbors.
Please join me as we work together in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to fight poverty and ensure that everyone, especially those who live on the margins of society, participates in decisions that affect their lives, families, and communities. Now more than ever, we need the Catholic Campaign for Human Development.
An important weekend is coming up for religious communities here in the Chicago area and across the United States. Hello, I'm Brother Michael Segvich, Religious Retirement Coordinator for the Archdiocese of Chicago, urging you to give generously on the weekend of December 8th and 9th. That's our annual collection for the Retirement Fund for Religious. It's our 31st annual collection for religious who have ministered for many years with little or no salaries. The collection goes a long way in addressing retirement funding shortages. Religious congregations are better able to ensure that the charism and good works of their orders continue. Tens of thousands of elderly Catholic sisters, brothers, and religious order priests benefit, and so do their ministries that help our neediest brothers and sisters. So please keep our religious communities in your hearts, minds, and prayers. We thank you for your kindness. May God bless you.
What does the gift of hope look like? It's an abandoned young woman with two young children searching for help. I'm Maggie at Catholic Charities Housing Services. As we worked with her, she blossomed before our eyes. She wrote a book, married, and often returned to say hello. You see, we believed in her, and she trusted us because, for us, this isn't just a job. It's a calling to be Chicago's Good Samaritan. Care to help? Visit CatholicCharities.net.
And with us now are two guests from St. Symphorosa. Both are school teachers, and both have a powerful influence upon young people. They were both present at Holy Fire, and today we'd like to welcome Eileen Akush and Janet Funk. Welcome, ladies.
Welcome. Hi, thank you.
So you both had a wonderful experience at Holy Fire. Eileen, would you like to share something that you walked away with that really touched your heart and the hearts of your students from Holy Fire?
You know, I think my favorite part would have to be with the speaker, Paul Kim. One of the things that really spoke
to me, and especially my students when I asked them, they couldn't talk enough about him. They loved the fact that he talked about how it's okay to question your faith at times, that this is part of what life is, and that you need to really find that person that helps anchor you. And I think that's something that especially teenagers really need to hear in this day and age.
What other challenges do you find them facing, Eileen, with their faith and their spirituality?
Mostly just the fact that they want to stay Catholic, be Catholic, talk about their faith, especially in a world where it's not cool, it's not expected, et cetera. But the kids really seem to have an outlet here, and I think that's what they really enjoyed about Holy Fire, was that they were surrounded by 5,000 other students who also felt the same way as they did.
It's a powerful influence, isn't it? Janet, how about you? What have your students been saying about Holy Fire?
Well, I feel that it had such an opportunity, it was an opportunity for the kids to really live out their faith in a way that they understand and a way that they can relate to. And it was interesting to watch them. And the best part was to see the children running up to the stage when the music started. And it was almost like a rock concert for kids, but a religious rock concert. And they had so much fun just running up there, and they were invited to sing, to chant, to yell. They were invited to put their cell phone lights on and wave their lights, and to just look at 5,000 lights in that UIC pavilion was priceless.
Awesome. Do you see what the you know, John Paul Pope Francis mentioned something beautiful in Joyful Love, number 100, when he says, when you love, you speak words of comfort, strength, consolation, and encouragement. Do you think the kids they took out some encouragement, consolation, strength, comfort? They hear that from the speakers. Did they get that, Eileen?
School's ending. Yes, for sure. In fact, one of my students even mentioned that they loved the fact that Mass was put at the end of the Holy Fire Conference, that it just kind of gave them a sense of peace after such a fun, exciting day, but it was making sure to center it all around God, and that really brought it back to Him.
One of the questions that I have for you in terms of, or for the both of you, either one of you can answer this question is, we always want to know, we as volunteers and as people that work with young people always love to see their reactions and when they and how they behave in such a setting when they were probably not expecting something or didn't know what to expect, as Father Peter had said, but then they end up falling in love with what they're actually experiencing. Just by talking to you, to the kids that you probably are in contact with or in touch with that participated during Holy Fire, what are some of the comments that, let's say, maybe you heard or have you talked to some of the young people that were there, and what have they said in terms of how they were probably going and then how they were after they came back?
I think they didn't know what to really expect. And when we arrived and we found our seats and we sat down and they were listening to the music, and they kind of looked at the teachers like, well, can we really do this? Can we really run up there? And can we really just sing and yell and have fun with the rest of them? And the minute that Eileen and I said to them, yes, go enjoy it, have some fun, and take all of this in, mm-hmm. it was like they were completely different. They were open to the experience, and they just ran up there. And it was the greatest thing for us to see, and it helped them connect. It made them feel like a part of it.
And in fact, before we went, I was explaining to my students how it was going to be a concert, you know, with Christian music, et cetera, et cetera, and then we'll have speakers. A bunch of them told me they thought it was going to be completely lame before we ever left. And when we got back, I asked them what they thought, and they said, that was amazing. We're going next year, right?
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, they were dancing, jumping, and just plain having fun. I mean, you know, it's a lively form of prayer for them.
Yeah, one of the things I have to agree with you, because the reason why I asked the question is because I got to tell you, I was on bus detail on the arrival of Holy Fire, and I saw the faces on the kids, and believe me, they looked like they were being dragged to something they just were going to completely hate. But I was also on bus duty at the very end, you know, in spite of all the different tasks that I had. And I saw the change in their eyes. I could tell you all of the kids had a little glitter in their eyes. Something had happened. Something had touched them. And that's exactly why I was asking the questions, because I could, and I'm just curious to know what conversations took or happened or occurred on the way back home or even after. So thank you so much for sharing that. I think that was really, really nice to know.
Yeah. You're welcome.
Holy fire really is about the fire of God being present in our hearts and in community, in the church. So how are you helping these young people to continue this holy fire encounter and experience that when they look at their lives, this is going to be a high point?
You know, we always encourage the kids, not only in our religion classes, but throughout the course of the day, that if something ever comes up that they question, that they're not sure of, you know, our doors are always open. You know, you never know what everyone's thinking, and you never know if they have a question. But I think the fact that the teachers at our school are so open with the kids and are always there to help them when they need it, I think our students know that we're behind them 100%.
So this is how you witness your faith to the students. And how do they witness back to you? How has Holy Fire made a big difference in their lives?
Well, Holy Fire was kind of part of the confirmation process for us, and we keep linking the service projects and everything back to, you know, remember that spirit you felt while you were at Holy Fire? That's kind of what you need to make sure you present out to the world. So we use it as our evangelization process.
Hey, Janet, were you in the stage when, what is her name, called you and they were dancing? Were you in the stage?
I was. It was when they said, I got volunteered to be our group leader.
Yes.
And you come up to the stage. I have to tell you, I was shocked. And then to see all of those educators on that stage at one time, and everyone was in the spirit of it. You know, when they started that music and they started that movement.
Yes.
We all really got into it. We danced, we laughed, and the kids were cheering.
Oh, yeah. I was on the other side. I was happy to see the joy of all of you. Oh, what a blessing.
It was. It was a lot. You know, and that was fun. So, like, what was really nice about that is the kids saw the teachers doing it.
Yes.
And now they can model it and say, you know, it's okay for them, so it must be okay. Let's dance. Let's jump around. Let's have some fun.
How are you helping the children and the young people to come in prayer and to form their spirituality? We know the world is keeping everyone so busy. It's a climate of distraction. It's a climate of busyness. So how do we approach this with the countercultural approach that is the gospel and Jesus centered?
Well, I think the teachers at our school model this behavior, and our 7th and 8th graders see Eileen and I up at the altar. They see us at Mass. They see how we act. They see that we're Eucharistic ministers. They see how we model our faith. They see that we live our faith. And they can tell the importance that the faith plays in our lives. And I think that teaches the kids quite a bit.
Yeah, you're actually witnesses of service. So how are these young people serving today in the parish or at home? What are they sharing with you when they come back to class?
They share all kinds of stories, things that come up. We get our kids involved in church. We have servers. Our kids do parts of the Mass. And the kids want to be part of it. They enjoy it. They come back, and it's like, you know, now our altar servers, you know, especially our new ones, it's like, well, can I serve? They're, you know, they really want to be part of it because it's exciting to them. It's something new. It's something different.
And then also, to piggyback on what Janet was saying, is they have to do different service hours for confirmation. So we get to hear about how they've worked at homeless shelters. We've had kids help at the Ronald McDonald House, helping at a bunch of other different places. They'll share pictures. They'll show us, like, tell us stories of what they did, things of that nature. So they really do enjoy helping and really do enjoy serving.
And in relation to this particular event, Holy Fire, and the fact that, you know, they do have to serve as part of, you know, what is required. In what other ways do you see or have you experienced perhaps, or maybe in your own personal opinion, how do you see events such as Holy Fire and similar events like this continue to inspire young people to really live a life in light of Christ's love and to really be missionary disciples in their every day-to-day living? How can they live out those gospel values? You know, service is a great place. Of course, you know, the requirements that are there for the sacraments are also a wonderful way of bringing them into that way of thinking. But just on your own opinion, how can events like this continue to help a young person really see their lives more meaningful when thinking about how their faith connects back to their own life?
Well, again, I think we live in a society where being Christian and being Catholic is not considered cool, and people don't talk about it very often. Mm-hmm. I know in my religion class, I share about how I've been questioned about my faith by many different people, from people who are just questioning, like, why do you go to church, to people who have attacked me practically about being Catholic. So what I think an event like Holy Fire does is it shows the kids that you're not alone. Mm-hmm. There's, like I said, there were 5,000 kids there at Holy Fire, that they can see that even though they go to a Catholic school, we talk about God, we talk about Jesus often, that there's thousands of other kids out there in their small little area that also are this way. And a couple of the kids talked about how after they came back, some of their friends who go to public school asked them, well, what did you do today? And they explained what Holy Fire was, and they had a whole conversation about God and why they go to church and things of that nature. So I think it made it acceptable, if not popular, to talk about.
So they're bearing witness and going forth with the gospel. So what gospel stories inspired by Holy Fire or throughout the conversation with young people have you really held on to and want others to know about?
Well, you mean specific gospel stories that we talk about in religion class?
Anything that comes to mind, sure.
Okay. My kids study miracles. They study parables. Wow. You know, they read them all in the Bible. They choose one that really, really touches them. And they explain it to the rest of the kids. This is why I chose this. And it's nice to see that, because it shows me that they're listening to Jesus' example, and we're hoping that they're following that example as well.
Excellent. Thank you so much. Now, what can we do? What can you share for parents in bringing them on board? Did they go to Holy Fire?
No, it's just the teachers and the students.
So how do you loop in those parents?
I think by the communication that Eileen and I have with our parents. You know, we email the parents, we have parent-teacher conferences, we see the parents, you know, every so often when there's events at school, and we're open, and we talk with the parents about a lot of these issues. You know, we bring things up that we think parents might be interested in, and a lot of times parents will ask us questions.
And I've even had parents come up and tell me how much their kids enjoyed it, and they weren't looking forward to it, et cetera, et cetera, and they came home and all they could do was talk about it for the whole weekend.
Excellent. Well, Eileen and Janet, we can't thank you enough. Yeah, keep up the great work at St. Symphorosa, mm-hmm. and keep on placing that Holy Fire into the hearts of the young people and asking the Holy Spirit to inspire. We're so happy you were with us today, and God bless you both, and have a wonderful week.
Thank you. It was a fabulous experience for all of us.
Thank you.
Join us every Monday through Friday at this time for Catholic Chicago. You can stream our programs live or listen to past programs by visiting our website, archchicago.org, and clicking on Radio TV. And please connect with Catholic Chicago on social media.